Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. As always, my name is Alon.
And my name's Aura.
And over there controlling the board is Andrew, our wonderful engineer, sound guy, radio dude extraordinaire. No matter what I say, I can't get him to actually look at me, unfortunately. Anyway, thank you, Andrew. So like I said, this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. You can learn more about us by going to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com or one of the many other domains we've got. Also, you can go to myspace.com/chatterboxgameshow and find out, you know, well,
and you can be one of our virtual friends.
Yeah, I don't think Ara's even made Chatterbox his friend.
No, I haven't been on MySpace in about like 3 months.
Yeah, I actually
had a falling out.
I intentionally don't link my personal one up with the radio one because I want to be able to actually communicate with my real friends, not just people who've never met me in like Zimbabwe who listen to the show.
And I want to have real friends.
Not that I don't love you, but I can love you from the Chatterbox page. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I just got back from California yesterday. Ara's been back for a few days, am I right?
That's right, still in the recovery process.
All right, so you had a lot more time to relax. I managed to relax a little bit at my sister's place, and then I came back to town and had an okay time yesterday just chilling out. I even played some Elabits because I keep telling myself I'm going to play Elabits one day, and so I put a little bit more time in with that. But let's get down to business and talk about GDC. I've got a little story before the break, and I just want to give my shouts out to a bunch of the people I hung out with. First of all, you and I are.
Mutual shout out, in fact.
Really?
Well, I mean, you know, I met a whole bunch of cool people that, you know, you've had affiliations with in the past.
Yeah, you and I got to hang out a lot more than I thought we would.
So.
In the past, I've gone down with people, and usually we part ways a lot. But, like, the first night we were there, we went to the THQ employee party thing, which you managed to get me in and say hi to everyone. So that was cool.
That's right.
And went to a bunch of other places, and I drank a little bit too much that first night, unfortunately.
Four or five parties every night.
It was kind of crazy. Very busy time. But I hung out towards the end primarily with, first of all, the guys from All Games Interactive.
Yes.
Lawrence and Bobby Blackwolf, who does the Bobby Blackwolf show and is part of All Games Interactive.
Very cool individuals. You know, that sounds kind of like a wrestler's name, Bobby Blackwell.
Yeah, well, it's got
nice alliteration
name, so
there.
It might be.
I see a future in the WWE.
I don't know if he actually wrestles, but we can ask. Also hung out with Dyson from Destructoid.com. I know we've got a lot of listeners who also pay attention to the Destructoid.com website, and if you don't, maybe you should do that. One of the guys let me stay in his hotel room on Friday because we went to the Video Games Live concert.
Yep.
And, you know, my hotel was done on Thursday, so I stuck around for another night, and I stayed with a guy from Spung.com. That's Sponge with an E, SPONG.com. They break all sorts of news that people claim is all BS, and then it actually happens, and everyone wonders how they figured it out.
Nice.
Anyway, so they're a good news site for video games, and I want to thank Joe from Spung. So I said I've got a story to tell.
I'm very curious because I haven't heard this story.
Maybe I've built it up too much at this point, but you know how I love talking about stupid people.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps I shouldn't devote so much time to stupid people, but I went to the Cliffy B session where he talked about Gears of War and iteration and programming, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But after the session, I had brought a copy of Gears of War with me because I was thinking, hey, I'd like to get his autograph on this. One of the things I do at GDC.
Because you're an autographing whore.
Yeah, like normally I'm not. I'm not too starstruck. Like I've met famous people before. I don't really care too much.
Yeah.
But video game designers who I appreciate.
Well, I never really thought you were starstruck about it. It just seemed like, you know, you were just like you had a mission, like very matter of factly, you know.
It's a metagame to
me. Yeah, it is. You know, you're just like how many signatures can I get on how many boxes?
Yeah, unfortunately I'll have no idea how much they're worth because I'm totally refusing to actually sell any of them. Unless I get like a duplicate or something. Like you know, my prized possession is my Shigeru Miyamoto autographed Mario 64.
One day, my friend, everyone's got a price.
Yeah. Well, if I'm down in the dumps, then I need some money. But who knows? Maybe it wouldn't go for anything. So anyway, so I go down. I try to get some autographs. I don't really do that with other famous people, but with game designers, it's my shtick, I guess.
Well, they're a lot cooler than, you know, Paris Hilton or whatever.
In my opinion, that's for sure. So I bring Gears of War, and I'm wondering, do I keep an autographed copy of Gears of War for myself or to give it to my roommate who likes the game a lot more? And after hearing Cliffy B talk and deciding that he's much more of a tool than I ever anticipated, it was definitely for my roommate. So I get the game autographed, and there's a lot of other people crowding around. They all want to use my little Sharpie marker that I brought because I prepared for this noise. They did not. Now, in particular, and here's where the story starts, there's two girls, two very cute girls. I would not turn them down if they propositioned me for pretty much anything.
Right.
Right. Although younger, I believe they were legal because they went to a certain school, maybe a school that we talk about on this show every
perhaps
once in a while.
Maybe one in this state.
Yeah, I honestly didn't realize they were attractive girls at that school, but, you know, hey, UAT apparently is sharpening up, and so good for them. Another reason to go.
or two other reasons, really.
Yeah, I guess. Or four. So there's these girls, and they want to get their shirts signed, and of course, I'm yelling outwardly that they should get their boobs signed instead of their shirts, but whatever, I couldn't convince them. But the first thing they say after I get my game,
you've got bigger balls than I.
Well, it's Cliffy B, dude. He was asking me or asking other people, like, should he put?
He wanted to sign your balls.
Stuff. Like, should I put anything lewd on the when he's autographing someone's shirt? So, like, I don't think he's opposed to that sort of thing. Anyway, so one of the two girls is like, oh, we're big fans, hey, and like they're all giddy and giggly, you know, just looking up to him with these big eyes, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I really should have talked about what he talked about first to tell you why I think he's such a tool. But
yeah, we'll get into that eventually.
Yeah, just take my word for it right now that I wasn't impressed as someone who appreciates games.
And I really wish I was there to hear that session now that you have such strong opinions about it. But anyway, go ahead.
It's not even that I have such, I don't know. We'll talk about it. But like, so she comes up to him with these googly eyes and giggly voice, and they're both there, you know, in their little like Converse or whatever they're wearing.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Were they like, oh my god, totally?
No. I mean, I don't know if I would be opposed to hanging out with them in real life, but like they just got like he's some sort of amazing guy. And the thing is, and what I'm going to talk about later on is that he doesn't really do much for game design. And I'll compare him to Japanese developers. That's really what we're going to get to. But, you know, his talk made me realize how much he just cares about presentation and graphics, which, you know, you can see when he's like the rock star of game design, right?
Right.
His spiky blonde hair and whatever. And that's cool, because listen, if I'm an attractive guy, I'm going to try and show that off, whether I'm a game designer or a model, right? I'm still going to do that. And that I can't fault him for that.
Well, I got a bunch of things to respond to that, but are we talking about this now, or are we going to... Is there some continuation of this story here?
I thought it was funny to tell the story of the two giggly girls who came up to him and were just all excited that they are big fans. And the thing is, it's complete bull because they're not big fans. They might like Gears of War, maybe.
Well, they like his image, right? Because obviously...
That's got to be it, because if they paid attention to his session, they would realize that, well, maybe they just like Gears of War more than me.
It's possible. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, a lot of these marquee names, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but the marquee names in general, they have an image, right?
And I would do anything for Shiggy, right?
Okay, well, I got a few things to say about him. You know, I mean, like, what has he really personally, specifically designed in the past, I don't know, 5-10 years?
He may not directly...
Right. Well,
I don't know what he does,
right.
But he
definitely
signs off on stuff. And
right, but that's my point. It's that we don't really know what capacity these people are participating in these projects. It could be anywhere from, you know, being heavily involved in the day-to-day work of, you know, a whole bunch of people, to working on stuff personally, to, you know, doing absolutely nothing and just being an image guy, which does happen, actually. Now, I don't know who is who. I don't know if Cliffy B's that guy. I don't know if Shigeru Miyamoto's that
ironically,
guy.
Ironically, Cliffy B, I think, is very involved with the game design, which is a struggle for me because there's not much game design in the game.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing that annoys me is that, you know, the marquee names get all this attention, and nobody, for the most part anyway, nobody really knows what they've done. It's just that their name is attached to a product, and so kind of by association, you know, they get the recognition, but we don't know if they really deserve it or not.
Yeah, I don't think they do, and that's what I keep alluding to that we're going to talk about. So there are other things we're going to discuss, though, right? The PlayStation keynote really stood out in, I think, everyone's minds who went there or heard about it. So we're going to talk about at least I'm going to talk about it because I know you didn't even go, but we've already discussed it, right? So you know what happened.
Right.
PlayStation, or the Sony people rather, Phil Harrison, had a lot to say about their future plans with the PS3. And apparently I'm going to have to buy one again. It's very frustrating. We all know that mine got taken recently. So I'm going to have to get a PS3, and I'll tell you why. And I also, one of the other sessions that stands out in my mind is the one from Koji Kondo, who's the sound designer for Mario Brothers and Zelda. And as I understand it, like, all the Marios and all the Zeldas
yep.
that have happened. So, I mean, maybe not the Game Boy ones. Anyway.
I don't know.
Probably, though. It's pretty much all he does. And that's,
he
it's
does,
amazing
he does,
that
he
always
does almost
has
all. I mean, he does a lot of Nintendo games.
I mean, when he talked, he never referenced anything but Mario or Zelda. Made me think that that's all he does.
Yeah.
I also went to a session with Eiji Onuma, who is the director for the Twilight Princess and several other recent Zelda games. So those two sort of went together because they talked about similar things.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like those were probably the two better Japanese-speaking sessions that we went to, because all the other ones were like... I don't know. I mean, I know translating is hard, especially in real time, but it's really bad. It makes these people come off like, yeah. you know, school children. It's
They're
terrible.
Fluffy. And we had talked about this even ahead of time because I knew beforehand that the Japanese sessions were going to suck because usually they're just, you know, prearranged and without spontaneity and are just all fluff and low on content. But these two guys actually had a lot of content, so I appreciated that. Anyway, we're going to come back from break in a couple minutes. If you want to give us a call, the number's 866-536-1100. We'll be back, and I'll talk about Cliffy and Cliffy.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we have Andrew back there doing the crazy thing he does every week.
Making sure we work.
Yes, yes. Hopefully not too crazy.
Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about, but you said you had some comments, general comments. About
yeah, so there's, you know, every time I go to GDC, which, you know, I've been there a few times. You've been there apparently way more than me.
I've been there, I think, like 8 or 9 of the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's insane. That's like, ridiculous. I don't know. You should get like some kind of like trophy or something for that, because that's...
I should ask them if they can research that, because I certainly don't know.
I think that's definitely like a 1%er type thing. Anyway, I always find it interesting how all the people who go up to ask questions at the end of sessions, most of them don't usually have a real question.
Yes, and we talked about this, didn't we?
Yes, and this is a kind of psychological study type thing for me. So I have just kind of some academic interest in it because, yeah, so few people almost never have a straightforward question. Now, sometimes people have a comment. I remember somebody told me there was the game design challenge session. Mm-hmm. And just to briefly say what that was basically – a really hard design problem, and I think we should talk about this later too, is given to three marquee name game designers. So we had Alexey Pahitnov of Tetris fame.
Yeah.
And we had...
I've got it in here somewhere. Ooh, you keep talking
okay.
and I'll find it.
The God of War guy.
David Jaffe.
David Jaffe, thank you very much. And we also have the guy who used to work with Warren Spector, whose name is... I'm drawing a blank on now. Harvey...
Do you remember what day it was?
Harvey Smith. Anyway, so they all had to deal with the same problem, which was essentially design a video game where the interface is a piece of cloth, a thread, and a needle.
Wasn't it just design a game?
No, it was design a game under these parameters.
But did it have to be a video game?
Yeah, it had to be a video game. And it was a little more specific than that, but for the purposes of this discussion, that's enough. And... somebody said, the woman came up and she was basically like, how come you had a game design challenge like this and you didn't even bother to pick a woman to be part of the challenge?
Oh, because of needle and thread?
Right, and apparently she was really pissed.
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, well, it's not a question at all, it's a comment, but that's fine, you know? Actually, no, you're right, it is a question. But she wasn't posing, I mean, she was being rhetorical about it, right? Okay. She wasn't really posing it as a question. Anyway, that's fine. And if you have a comment, that's fine. But what I hear a lot of times is, and we even experienced this in the Koji Igarashi talk, who is the Castlevania producer, where there was, no, wait, it wasn't that. It was the other guy, right?
It doesn't matter. I heard it a lot.
All right. But this one particular instance I'm talking about where there was this kid who was trying to formulate some question, and he said a couple statements and a couple sentences, and he was kind of floundering, and he couldn't, get a question out of himself, right? And eventually, the speaker was just like, all right, I'll take it from here. And the guy asking the question or trying to just gave up, and he was like, okay, fine.
And yeah.
It seems to me like they're just, you know, I don't know, maybe it's one of a few things. Maybe sometimes they want to kind of relate to the speaker, or they're just so much a fanboy of the speaker that they have an opinion on something, and they just want to hear the speaker kind of agree with them about their opinion on something. So they try to phrase their opinions in the form of a question and try to color it so undoubtedly the speaker would agree with it. And I know this because I've actually, when I first started doing interviews, I first started to do this, and it's really, really bad.
Well, what we had really talked about earlier, before the show at GDC, was basically how these people, they come up, they want to ask a question, and I'm convinced, at least, that they really just want to have some talk time with someone that they appreciate. It's like having to go up and ask for someone's autograph because, you know, when you see people in line, if there's a meet and greet with somebody, whatever,
right.
Like, hey, I really love you, you're great, you know. It's like a guy who walks up to a girl at a bar and hopes that there's something he can say to make her go home with him, right?
Right.
They want to have some sort of FaceTime with this person. And
that's a more direct goal, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had the same feeling before, too. Like, I want to talk to this person, but I have no idea what I could possibly say when I do that. So you just have to sort of recognize that and shut yourself down because you realize you're being an idiot. Unfortunately, these people get up and I mean, sometimes their question was taken by the guy in front or whatever.
Right.
But mostly it's just, they're a little bit nervous. They have stage fright from being in front of so many people. Then they're talking to this particular person they want to talk to.
Right.
And on top of that, they just don't want to shut up because they don't want to lose that moment. And
there's a lot of posturing. There's a lot of posturing going on. That's one of the things that I like least about GDC. But
I mean, this is a really small part of GDC.
It depends, because last year my experience was very different from this year's. And I think that it must be that just the sessions are really hit or miss, and sometimes you get really good ones and sometimes you get really bad ones.
For the record, I just found the listing in the book here. It was David Jaffe, Alexei Pajitnov, or Pajitnov, as I always said, Harvey Smith, and Eric Zimmerman. I think Zimmerman was the moderator.
He was the host of sorts.
Yeah, so Harvey Smith was the name you couldn't remember. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I recognize what you're saying with that, and that's weird, but it's more just a psychology thing, and I try to keep my questions relatively succinct, and a lot of people saw me on the Kevin Smith thing, and it was extended there, but I tried to at least make my point.
Right. Well, you were rather eloquent in that. You know, it takes discipline to ask a straightforward question, and I think that if you don't have a straightforward question, if you have one that you have to qualify and also kind of set up and contextualize by four or five different statements.
Yeah, part two, part three.
You shouldn't be – it's not a good question. You shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah. Maybe you should get in the back of the line and give yourself more time to think about it.
There you go.
But I agree. I've seen that too. Now, we had someone on the boards here, Sony Fanboy, came onto our live chat. Anyone can do that, by the way, at chatterboxgameshow.com. I don't think he's listening live right now because his computer doesn't seem to be working, but he did want to make sure that I talked about the Sony keynote and Little Big Planet, and that was really what I plan on talking about right now.
Yes, and I'm going to talk about why I continue to roll my eyes.
Okay. So I've always said, well, not always, but for the last several years, I came to realize, and I've said to all of you, that Sony is completely full of crap, and they specifically will make big announcements and do really impressive things at GDC and sometimes E3, but mostly at GDC, at least in my experience, and never come through with what they say. Like 5 or 6 years ago, I saw the iToy. I saw the iToy in a very impressive setting at GDC, way before that thing ever hit stores. And I was totally excited. I was like, wow, this is going to be great. And they were waving around these orange and green wands that were easily recognized by the camera. It was great. Yet when the camera comes out, they don't say, hey, you should use a green and orange wand. They just say, use your hand. And that doesn't work as well. It's like, I want the optimal experience. If that means I have to get a green and orange wand, fine. I'll deal with it.
Yeah, that's why I stopped playing on the iToy, actually, because it's so inconsistent as an input.
Yeah,
device.
It's not difficult, in fact, to include a green and orange plastic wand in the box. I would use it. Trust me.
They're afraid. They're afraid of doing something that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they try with the iToy, but it's like, if it's not going to work, don't bother. But my point is, they made these big announcements, big plans. They were talking about episodic content and role-playing games like years ago. None of this stuff ever happens. Big plans for the hard drive and the PS2, nothing. And we all could have told you it wouldn't have worked from the beginning. But, you know, so they learn from that, and at least, okay, the hard drive is built into the PS3, and they make some good moves with the hardware to begin with. But I've learned not to trust anything they say. But the stuff they talked about, supposedly being released very soon, supposedly being released this year. So I'm going to talk about the two things that they talked about at the keynote, which was PlayStation Home, their network environment and their sort of virtual world, and Little Big Planet. I'm a lot more excited about Little Big Planet than PlayStation Home. PlayStation Home is basically just Second Life minus the stuff that really makes Second Life cool.
Plus, you have to keep buying stuff.
Well, yeah, and I've always got an idea for how they can improve the fact that you have to buy stuff instead of just buy stuff. So anyway, we're going to talk about that when I get back for real this time, PlayStation Home and Little Big Planet. And if you want to share your thoughts, it's 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
We are back, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
My name's Aura.
That's Aura. Aura's a little bit sick and coughing quite a bit. I think it's holding back.
It's an 11 out of 12 on the pollen scale out here.
11 out of 12 or 11 out of 10?
No, they bump it up to 12 because that's how bad it gets.
Okay, great. So, I promise we're going to talk about Sony, but before I do that, I want to mention to everybody UAT.edu. For those who aren't listening live, they don't hear our commercials between the breaks. UAT, the University of Advancing Technology, is where you can go to learn about getting into the game industry and meeting those two girls I discussed earlier
That's
in the
right.
show. Cute ladies. Wish I got their names. Making new friends at UAT.
You and me both.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Sony a bit. Their keynote focused on two things, PlayStation Home and Little Big Planet. Little Big Planet is a game that's being produced by the guys who made Ragdoll Kung Fu. They said, hey guys, can you make this game? Or they made something and impressed Sony. I don't know. Anyway, they're making it for the PS3. Now, Sony is making PlayStation Home, which is supposedly, you know, their network and linking up games and all that stuff. But all they did was show off the free, like, fake universe where every PlayStation Home user gets their access to the public area where you can meet people. So it's a big chat room, but you've got physical avatars. You're walking through a 3D world like any 3D game, right, with good high-resolution graphics and whatnot. And there's advertisements playing because Sony can, you know, make money by getting you in there and showing you advertisements and stuff. And you can meet other people and you can chat with chat bubbles, a USB keyboard, your voice mic or whatever. And everything looks really cool. And that's a great way to meet people. A lot of people love, you know, networking inside of games and all that stuff. So that's going to be good for some folks. But they concentrated also on the fact that you would have your own private area, your own apartment, basically, or a home or whatever, where you could add in your own furniture and, you know, TV screens, playing your own videos from your PS3 and whatever. Which is funny, too, because other people going in there, if you put a movie on the TV, I guess they're not going to be able to see it because, you know, it's going to be your movie. It's not on their machine. So I wonder how that's going to pan out.
Yeah, it's a tricky little
Maybe you can
thing.
Have it randomly play any movie that's on their machine. Anyway, so you're going to have this private space that you can decorate, set the wallpaper for, and set up furniture and invite people into your apartment. So you can, it's basically like having your own private chat room versus the large public chat room with lots of people. And
now,
that is a fantastic idea.
I wasn't at that keynote, but I mean, is this basically like a town or a city or something where, you know, everyone's got some kind of weird
What they showed was indoors,
address?
But I mean, you could see the outdoors and whatever. So I'm sure they can expand it limitlessly. They're going to have to because there's going to be a lot of people, right?
So like Second Life, but for maybe a little more user-friendly.
What they were talking about is Game 3.0 and how original games were just, you know, single player or two people on the machine at once.
Right.
And that was it. And then...
Of course, this isn't the game at all, really. It's a some.
Well, no, but it feeds into it because Game 2.0 is like connected games playing with people. But then Game 3.0 is custom content. basically The Sims, where people are creating content for the games, The Sims, and then Spore is really doing this.
Right? Let me tell you, if I could roll my eyes backward 180 degrees right now, I would.
All right. So they're saying content made by the community is it's 3.0. And so this is an area where you get to experience custom content. Basically, it gets you into the mindset of creating something, and it gives you your own personal space to create it. And therefore, in other games, you might also create.
Can I just do a little rant right now for a minute?
After I tell you that you can also buy new furniture and stuff, yes, now you can rant.
Okay. Now, the reason why my eyes are rolling here is that I really think that this Uber customization kind of thing is not going to be as long-lasting as people say it is. Now, I'm a pretty jaded gamer. Right?
One who got his job in the industry by creating.
Right. And I'm not talking about, you know, creating functional things. What I'm talking about is games like what's that?
I keep talking if you need time.
All right. Okay, I've got like some kind of virus or something. All right, games where you have all this customizable content and it doesn't really have any functional significance. And then I'm trying to think of the...
Well, they're not saying it's going to be just couches and stuff.
Right. I'm talking about the couches part of it. You know, if you can do something that's functional, that's cool. But the thing is, you know, like in racing games where you can customize your car in 500 different ways.
And, oh, I hate that.
And the wrestling games where you can make your wrestler look like one in 8 million different combinations.
By the way, the personal, how you can make your character look.
Right.
It's very elaborate. And,
customizing your appearance and all that stuff. There's only so many times where you can go through this process in different products where you start to get tired of it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And now I've reached this point a long time ago, and right now it's just getting to the point where a lot of people haven't experienced this a lot, so it's new and it's really interesting and that's cool. But just like me, they're going to go through this. They're going to The Sims, I guess, has some of this. And Animal Crossing, that was the one I couldn't remember.
Okay.
Animal Crossing has this. And, you know, you do it enough times and you realize that, you know, and I'm talking about the functionally meaningless parts, the thing that just have to do with appearance. You realize that you just spend time doing it over and over again and you realize that you're getting so little out of it.
You might. Other people don't seem to realize that.
And, well, that's the thing. You have to go through it a few times. And my point is that you're going to get tired of it. And so this is a gimmick. You know, people are going to do this. And, oh, great. Now I have my flipping, you know, fake apartment with fake decorations. And yeah.
But what Sony is saying is that creating content for the game is going to be valid. They didn't say anything about just that cheesy stuff. Now, PlayStation Home, like I said, it's putting you in the mindset of creating content. But then Little Big Planet is there an example of you creating content that has very specific function?
Right. Now,
value.
That I think is cool. If there's a functional element to that, then I think that there's value there.
Yeah.
If it's only appearance, not so much.
But see, now there are plenty of people who obviously get off in just customizing and making their own personal space and whatever. So I think the PlayStation Home is a great idea. It's a great way to draw in some people who might initially be turned off by this. Although getting them to even experience it in the first place, I think is going to be significantly difficult or challenging. Because it's such a big hurdle to entry with the large price tag. And really, it's just they've geared it towards adult men. You're not going to see the 15-year-old girls and moms and stuff looking at this thing unless the kids get it first. And, you know, they have to decide to get that before a 360, or unless they can get both. So I think the PlayStation Home is good stuff, but I don't see a lot of what you're saying, like not a lot of function. Like, it's going to be fun to mess around with,
right?
But... you know, there's a certain limit. There's only so much I want to go in and talk to people. So it's going to be great for porn. You're going to be able to put porn on a giant screen and watch it in your personal apartment. You're going to be able to meet girls or guys who are pretending to be girls in the world and bring them to your apartment and all the cybering you want to do. Great. And, you know, anything that we can do to move towards that goal.
Well,
hey.
That's what drives all technology,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is. And I'm happy to see that. Yay for porn. But I don't see much other functionality for this aside from marketing. Because what's cool about Second Life is that you get to create according to your own parameters. You get to, you know, get into code. You can script stuff. You can design things very specifically. Sony basically says, you know, you can design some pictures. You can make graphics on your camera or with Photoshop or whatever. You can get them in there by putting them on a memory card and then onto your PlayStation 3. make them your wallpaper or put them in your picture frames or whatever, great. But you can't, you know, make a building. You can buy a bigger building. You could pay them to give you more furniture. But you're not going to have the level of customization that's what makes Second Life actually cool, to express yourself artistically and do this cool stuff. Yeah, a little bit, but not much. And that's what makes Second Life, which seems to be what they modeled this after, so cool. Now, what they are doing is Little Big Planet, which really, like I said, they're not doing. They're having somebody do it for them, but same idea. It's coming out for the PS3. Little Big Planet, essentially a sandbox. You get to make whatever you want. They give you these little dudes. You can have up to 4 players, and they look like just little sacks with arms and legs. And it's apparently, at least what they showed, was very cool. And each world, or the world that you're in, has a physics model that is relatively realistic, so we're all used to what might happen in this real world. You can apply your own graphics to cloth and to objects and all over the place. Each character can grab onto things, and they jump with, you know, relatively realistically. I think they can jump higher than than a real person could jump, but you get the idea, right? It's got a physics model over the whole world, and then they can like flail their arms around and slap their partner or point and make little movies or whatever.
So what do you do? I mean, do you just set up scenarios where these little lemming type things can just go around and do funny things, or?
No, they give you the objects or the ability, a level editor, to build whatever you want. And I mean, I don't know what sort of constraints are on it, but right. They showed a level that they showed something that they did very quickly, which was just a quick demonstration of how to like get over some large block or use teamwork to get over some large hurdle of some sort. And that was neat. But then they showed one that they spent more time with, and it was really fascinating. You could play with up to 4 people and help each other go through this world. And it made me realize, like, this is game design.
So there's an actual goal in these scenarios, yes?
Yeah, I mean, well, because they created something. Now, I assume, because I've never seen a game come out on a console in the past that was simply for content creation. Like, it always had at least an example through single-player functionality.
Right.
And said, you know, here's what we did. Here, go ahead and play it. Now, here's the editor. So even if the game was geared towards the editing, they at least put in a single-player mode so you could see what it's like. So who knows if they will. They didn't really talk about it. But these people built a whole long world with branches that would, one character could use the help of another character to jump really high and get over a hurdle. And then that second character could grab a branch and pull it down so that the other characters could jump on the branch. And then when he lets go, it springs up and shoots them where they need to go. Or you could grab hanging, you know, chains to swing and get somewhere. Or you could work together to push an orange around. And if you wanted to get up somewhere high, you could push the large orange and then grab onto it so you rolled up to the top of the orange to get over another hurdle. And the point is, you can create these very elaborate worlds with their supposedly simple editor. Graphically elaborate and functionally elaborate. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this after break because I'm still impressed by it. Again, if you want to call, 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alon.
And we're talking about GDC, which was last week.
Talking about the Game Developers Conference.
That's right. I just assume that people know all these acronyms.
You know, we've got the hardcores out there, but we've got to cater to the not-so-hardcores.
Yes. So I can't believe that we forgot to mention Super Paper Mario.
Is it Super? Yeah, it's Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, which totally blew me away.
You're a lot more impressed than I am. I mean, I'm excited about it because it's no longer RPG.
I see the potential.
Any Mario game is awesome to me, unless it's RPG or like Where in Time is Mario or whatever. But,
right. This isn't your average platformer. Now they've taken the Paper Mario thing, and now looks like a straight up action game.
Yeah. Still much more excited about Mario Galaxy, by the way.
Yeah. Whatever. So. The thing that just is so incredible to me about this game is that they have this concept where you've got the standard 2D side-scrolling mechanics, right?
Yeah.
And you have now this new kind of special move or power or whatever you want to call it, where you can turn the camera angle 90 degrees. So you look like what looks like a 2D world, right? You can do the thing, and then, whoa, you're looking at it from the side now. And you can go into and out of things. You can go behind and in front of things that you couldn't before. And I'm just happy as a little girl because there's so much potential with this kind of mechanic. It's so cool. And you know how jaded I am.
Yes, I do.
You know how hard it is to impress me in video games.
Now, what's cool is that it is 2D. When you're in the 2D mode, it is a 2D game. You can't go, like, behind something and then switch it to 2D and walk behind it.
Right.
No. When you're 2D,
right,
you're 2D. And then you switch it to 3D, and only temporarily, because your health goes down in 3D mode.
Right. There's a cost to using it. You can't just do it every time.
Exactly, because otherwise it'd be too easy. But it's a way, like, they can hide stuff behind things, and then you switch to 3D mode, and you can see the hidden stuff.
Yeah, and it's so cool, because it just changes the nature of the level completely. It just, I mean, the look and feel of it is just totally different.
Yeah, and you can change all the time, too. It's not, like, only in special worlds, only in this one area can you do it, but it's the whole thing.
Yeah, so I was astounded. But let me tell you something that I wasn't astounded by.
Don't forget, I need to talk about that other stuff, too. Gotta get back.
All right, really quick, you know, something that vexes me to no end, which if anybody knows something about that can help me out on, you know, please call in and tell us, 866-536-1100.
Got 5 minutes.
Is flow.
Yes.
I don't understand flow. All you do is you just fly around in this kind of ethereal space and you collect things, and it's so slow.
If they charge for it, it's not worth it.
It's slow. It's so boring. It's not even. It doesn't have a goal, so it's not really a game. It's kind of like this really bizarre toy, and I'm just trying to understand it because the feeling that I get from it is just this artsy fartsy movie where they keep building up to something's about to happen. Some meaningful message is about to be communicated, and then you get to it, and what? Oh no, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. So.
Yeah. No. It is really cool to look. I've played the Flash version at least, and I saw the PlayStation 3. Like, it's cool to mess around with, but it's not something I would want to pay for because it doesn't seem like a game.
Right.
So that's my opinion. Like,
so don't I don't know if I'm missing something. You know, I don't know if
I don't want to take away from Chen's vision when you create the game.
I want to know what the vision is. That's the thing. Like, what is the vision? I don't understand it. You know, somebody please tell me. But go ahead.
It is neat, but I'm not gonna claim people should buy it. By the way, I was corrected. Partners in Time is the Mario game.
Partners in Time.
Yeah, I think there was one. It was like educational Mario in Time or something. Anyway, so getting back to Little Big Planet, we've got a lot of people requesting this. Tonchevik, by the one who, he's the one who reminded me that it's Partners in Time.
Right on.
I like to give credit where credit's due. So Little Big Planet. What I was saying about this, that you can make your own world, and they talked about it for like 20 minutes and went through their level, all four of them on screen, and it was really fascinating to watch because you know that they just built it on their own, and then they showed this just fast forwarded. Super speedy video of, I guess, a world being made or parts of worlds being made just to show the editor in action, because previously we hadn't really seen the editor in action for world building, just for like adding graphics and things, because everybody has these stickers, what they call stickers, and they're just graphics that you bring in from your camera or maybe those are predetermined set of graphics, but you can apply them to cloth, like I said, or backgrounds or whatever, so you can tag people's areas. If you don't like their world or something, you can tag it with your graphics.
Nice. Graffiti turf wars.
Yeah, pretty much. So you can make your own metagame out of that, too. But so they showed the editor real fast, and it was just amazing. Like, you'd make these big blocks or put on gears on the blocks that would rotate. You know, if you grab them, they'll spin. And there's all these different things that you can do, and it's not just arbitrary. It's not like little block, big block. Like, you can take the block, you can stretch a vertex up and make it a different shape. And like I said earlier, there are branches you can pull, and I have a feeling that they built those branches just out of like some polygons, right? Where you start off with maybe a square and you stretch until you get what you want.
Yeah.
And so it looks like you have a lot of freedom to create the content. And what I found most fascinating about all this, and what I didn't even talk about it with PlayStation Home, is what I was so happy about leaving the PlayStation 3 keynote or the Sony keynote was the new opportunities for people, right? For Little Big Planet. Like, you built Unreal Tournament level, and right. You got noticed, right, in the industry.
Yeah.
I could get a PlayStation 3. I could decide, hey, I'm going to spend a lot of time making a fascinating level with Little Big Planet. And because they're doing something different than I believe any other console-developed game has done here, it's worthwhile. They're going to rank these. So you can go on, like, YouTube and see how many times has this level been played. Is this a worthy level, right? So people will be able to rank them, and you'll be able to see how much they've been played. So obviously, the one that's been played 10,000 times... more than any other, like, that's the one you should play. It's probably a really good level. And so therefore, with the ranking system, they're going to get noticed by other people who appreciate this game, even in the design industry. So if you want to get something in your portfolio, by all means, make a great level with this. Get some friends together, work together, make a great level, and then get it to the top. Advertise it on blogs or whatever. Get it to the top, and you can get noticed. And with PlayStation Home, there are all these things about not really you creating. I don't think people are going to be noticed by doing that, but you can create, if you're working for a company that wants to advertise a game or whatever, there's PlayStation 3 home sites or something. So like NBA 07 or something, there's going to have a site, going to be a site where you can take your avatar, walk into this, and like play our little arcade games where you play a three-point shootout.
And totally tag up their whole place?
No, that's different. That's Little Big Planet. But like, you can go in and so people are going to get a job. There's probably going to be a job at EA and Sony, whatever, that your job is to make these areas, right?
Well,
so I'm happy to see people get work.
The players actually enough creative latitude to, you know...
Now we're getting back to Little Big Planet.
give that much expression.
It's going to be fascinating.
Then it's good. You know, I'm not having seen it, right? One of my concerns is that, which is the same concern as, you know, most editors in games that let you do something creative, is that they don't really give you enough latitude in how you can express yourself. So
it really looks... The reason I'm excited about this is because it does look like it's giving you enough freedom
to create. Then I think that would be totally awesome.
Now, I could be wrong, and historically I get super excited about Sony stuff that ends up not actually panning out to be what I expected.
And you should just learn to expect nothing like me, and then you'll never be disappointed.
Right. No, and that's the thing is, I'm smart enough not to be surprised if I get screwed over with this one, but after the demonstration they showed, I'm kind of convinced. So I hope I don't get disappointed, but I won't really be terribly surprised if it turns out to miss some things that I'm expecting, but it looks like you can do a whole lot with it. And the fact that they're allowing it to be ranked is going to mean a lot of opportunity for people who want to really put their heart into this and do something valuable with it. You can check out demos, by the way. If you go into our chat room, the guy who runs it, Amiculi, he put up in the title there where you can go to see a video of Little Big Planet.
And press the cough button for the 100th time.
Yeah. And so I'm just saying it's fascinating. Put some time into it. Share your levels with people. Get it looked at. And you're going to have something really good to show off. And you might even impress some important people.
And you might even get a job.
Might even get a job like this man right over to my left. So anyway, we're out of show, obviously. We appreciate everybody listening. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about the show at any time. And join in a live chat next week. Anything else before we go, Ara?
Send us email. We love email.
Send us email. Now that we're back, we can even respond to them.
That's
we'll be back next week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.